Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. We got to, I can't talk about this until we're doing the, doing this. Let's make a, let's make a podcast.
Why not?
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our spaceman from Pluto. We will be your Constance. I am Dez.
I agree with that, Constance. Constant. Oh, yeah, I'm Ari.
And I'm Eric Stoltz.
And this must be Time Pop. I have...
Gonorrhea.
Happy Back to the Future Day, everybody.
Happy Back to the Future Day. Holy crap. Another year has passed, or has it? I don't know. Maybe it was just yesterday for you. I don't know how you get around the multiverse.
Oh, this is the most important holiday in the Time Pop community. What'd you guys get me? Did you get me another flux capacitor this year? Hoverboard? What'd you get?
Add it to your collection.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
What is that?
The Farmer's Almanac.
Farmer's Almanac.
I got to turn this off.
Oh. He's got the, not the sports almanac.
Not the sports almanac.
Oh.
I know. Well, you know what's funny is that, so, you know, I'm a time travel nerd. It's Back to the Future week. Like, of course, like I'm thinking about nothing but Back to the Future. So I'm not thinking about Back to the Future at all. Just bear with me, people. This is 2 days ago. Somehow there's a window in my life where not thinking about Back to the Future at all. I'm like, oh, Farmer's Almanac. I'm just waiting in line at the grocery store. I didn't realize like they do it day by day. Like I thought Farmer's Almanac was like, hey, it might not rain in June. Good luck, farmers. And but like it's like got it's a day to day like sunrise, sunset, blah, blah, all this stuff. So I'm going through the checkout and the checkout. She goes, almanac. She goes, that's weird. She goes, the only almanac I've ever heard of is that one from that movie, that what's that movie? And I'm such an asshole. I'm like, and I'm trying to think. I'm like, are you talking about Project Almanac, the time travel movie? She goes, no, but time travel, the other time travel movie, Back to the Future. I'm like, oh, yeah, Back to the Future, the sports almanac.
I thought you were messing with her.
No, I just.
You're a busy man.
I am. I was buying groceries for the family for the week. It happens. So I got a different kind of almanac, the one that tells the future, not the past. So we'll see if this is written by time travelers who came here from the year 2025.
Probably not. Welcome, friends. This is the biggest day of the year. It is Back to the Future Day, 2024.
That means that it is October 26th. And why is Desmond giving me a weird face? Is that wrong?
October 26th?
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah.
So for
21st, October 21st.
Is it 21st or 26th?
You're just seeing the footage.
It's October 21st.
I could be wrong. I just remember seeing it on the screen.
They did. They showed it in the documentaries.
So it was 26.
That's interesting. Ooh.
This is October 21st.
But why? Why?
Saturday?
Maybe. Oh, is it? It's the day.
It's the day he went to in 2015.
Yeah, it says October 21st.
He left October 26, 1985, or he started, his home date is October 26, 1985. He is going to October 21st, 2015 from November 12th, 1955.
Right. So it says the 26th is the day when Doc first summons Marty to witness the time traveling power of the flux capacitor, but they go to the 21st?
Yes.
But the 26th is the day that they
first
left.
Tested out.
That's first plugged into the system.
Yes. This is where you are.
Oh, right. It's first.
This is where you're going. This is where you've been.
We sound like we should know these.
My things. God.
So the 26th is when he first shows it to him. And then later on, he's like, the 21st, that's the day I thought of the flux capacitor. Remember, he plugs it in. So the 26th, is that when Einstein goes back?
He just goes forward 1 minute.
Right. Einstein goes on the 26th, but Marty goes on the 21st.
Yes.
Ooh, nerd stuff.
There you go, fuckers.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's why I was confusing, because it shows the 26th and 24th.
This readout tells you where you're going. This one tells you where you are. This one tells you where you were.
That's what Doc says.
All right. So let's hope this clarifies that for all you out there.
So everyone out there, I have watched 12 hours of Back to the Future documentaries, behind the scenes, interviews, etc. And I've read a half dozen to a dozen articles. So I'm just going to apologize right now. I'm not going to reference where I get this information from, but just trust me, I've been studying hard and it's all in there somewhere.
I hope you ace the test. I hope you pass the test. It's going to be a big, if you cram for the final. So today, in honor of Back to the Future Day, we are celebrating the phenomenon that is Back to the Future. We've been watching various documentaries. The big one is known as Back in Time.
Yes.
I watched the other one, the Insider.
Background. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the movies that made us, the Netflix one. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
And also just all the influences that Back to the Future had, all the movies that cited as an influence that it influenced. So we're just celebrating.
Yeah, I've got a big bone to pick with that list, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. I did watch both of those documentaries and they used the same interviews. And then even you're watching the Netflix special and it's like, okay, clearly they just interviewed these guys once and they're just all.
Well, I watched it. I watched the DVD special. So it was all, it all came from the bonus edition DVD.
And they just re-edited these to all these different specials, documentaries. Yeah.
Yeah. And then every once in a while, you could tell someone did their homework and would drop a little nugget. But the basic interviews were done.
So the reason why we wanted to do a Time Pop episode specifically on Back to the Future is, one, we love this movie, Back to the Future. Right? This is Back to the Future Day. The 21st, apparently, not the 26th. And also because Back to the Future has become such an iconic and referenced movie for other time travel movies that we just need to give it its props, its notoriety. So we're going to do that on this episode.
Yeah, it's really been set as the standard. And what, that's what Ari was saying, was just there's so many movies since then that are time travel. Like when that came out, there was not a lot. And now it's so freaking, since we've started this podcast, since you guys started, it's so common. And it's so common now that they're all referencing Back to the Future in these fictional films about time travel.
I mean, it's crazy to think that this movie just like erased the time machine from the zeitgeist.
Well, yeah, I want to talk about what existed before Back to the Future existed. I want to talk about that. And then I also want to talk about why we think this movie became so iconic as far as, you know, being the groundwork for time travel and referencing it. So before Back to the Future came out in 1985, what existed?
So there's the time machine is the biggest influence. We just found out it was written in 1895 and there was a film in 1960. Beyond that, there's some obscure. I looked up. There's different obscure things throughout.
What's the one we did for?
But there is, yeah, there's Time After Time, which is Jack the Ripper. That is in the 70s. There's also Somewhere in Time that we have not done yet. And theoretically, we should just do it. But when, that is Christopher Reeve going back to like fall in love with someone in the past.
Okay.
Somewhere in Time. Yeah.
And then there's also Terminator.
Which is before Back to the Future.
Which
yeah.
Kind of shocked. I don't know why I thought Terminator came out after Back to the Future, but it didn't. It came out before Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big movie. You know, they made many.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
If you know what, if Terminator 1 was a little more niche than I think we think it is now.
It was kind of like a horror. It had like the horror audience.
T2 is when Terminator blew up.
But the first one was a big deal. It made a lot of money. It put James Cameron on the map.
But there was a lot of people that like were like, that movie's not for me. But like Terminator 2, they're like, wow, let's go check this out.
It blew up.
Well, so I was thinking about this. Why is Back to the Future so much more iconic, so much more loved by science fiction and specifically time travel fans, and Terminator wasn't? And I thought it was because, for one, Back to the Future is a comedy, right? People relate more to comedies.
Yeah.
And Terminator is more of like a...
It's almost horror.
Yeah, it's almost like a scary action, warning you against, you know, science and technology. Yeah,
it's not happy-go-lucky time travel adventure. It's...
Yeah.
It's the world's burning.
Oh, and real quick, I just, before we get totally away from it, Planet of the Apes.
Well, so all those other time travel films, like Planet of the Apes, never uses the word time travel.
And it's just an element at the...
Oh, you're right.
Not an element. It's not a major element in the film. At the end, it's the surprise twist.
Yeah.
Even Terminator starts off with that. It sets it up. But then the rest is just present day. This guy is trying to kill him. He's trying to keep her alive. Like,
and let's just jump to the end of this. If Eric Stoltz gets his way, this is a dark movie.
Right. Yeah.
This is a Planet of the Apes, a terrible Terminator ending. Like,
I saw that in the interview. They're saying Eric Stoltz was like, no, but Marty, how sad that he goes back to the future and everyone has lived this other universe that he doesn't know about. And then they're like, we said, don't think so hard. He makes a valid point.
I always thought he was just an asshole. And then when I heard that, I was like, no, he's like, technically, I think Eric Stoltz was right.
Yeah, he was much more sci-fi thoughtful than anybody else. Because Marty McFly, in that like perfect utopian future, he's going to make a reference to Jennifer or his family. Like, remember that New Year's Eve we did that? They'd be like, what are you talking about? And like, remember when I was a kid, I loved that album? No, you didn't. Like, it's just going to come up a lot.
Yeah, like, is all of Marty's references still locked in time? Like, when he's like, remember when I... blah, blah, blah. They're like, yeah, no.
His parents are different humans. Their whole upbringing. And again, you know, whatever. We always tear into Back to the Future. If his parents are so much more successful, why are they in the same house? Or they had kids at the same moment still when their lives were totally different. It's, yeah, you know, it's all.
They still kissed. The first time, their first kiss was at the same time. So as of that first kiss, everything just locked back in place.
Yeah, you
now is Back to the Future a loop? Has it all? Oh no, it can't be. No, because it's changed. It's changed. Yeah. So yeah, I think so. To go to finally dig into Ari's question, like, it's just like,
what was my question?
I think why Back to the Future has become the phenomenon it is. I think it's because it was able to. All ages, families were able to go see this. Like, there was something for the kids. It was exciting. It was action-y.
Oh, absolutely.
It's digestible sci-fi.
The parents, I mean, it was in 85. So like, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, this is, if Back to the Future took place today, it would go back to 1993.
Wow.
That's crazy. Like, I thought 1955 was two lifetimes ago.
It was.
Like, that is 1993. Like, Nirvana just came out with their first album. Like, that was not that long ago. So, like, parents were, like, enjoyed it because they could, you know, they weren't as old as we thought they were.
It was a comedy, which means more people are going to be into it and more people liked it. I think it was the first time they really used the word time travel and time machine, even though the time machine in the 60s was made and they talked about the time machine. But you got to really experience what would happen, you know, in their universe if you went back in time, changed something, and then, you know, it affected the future or the present. You got to really think about the consequences of time travel and the possibilities of time travel and messing with time. And so it kind of really opened up people's minds to time travel. Like, not
well, the original script was like they were going to come back to a future that was reminiscent of the World's Fair,
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, the original first draft, like, they changed it pretty early, but they were going to come back to 1985, and there was going to be flying cars there and all kinds of weird futuristic shit, which is funny that they, like, it's a better movie that they did it, but it's crazy that immediately they're just like, no, that's stupid. It's like, it's expensive, but I don't know if it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they've said in a lot of interviews, to me, it's one of the most perfect scripts. If I was teaching a film class, if I was a film professor, every awesome. Action, every setup is met, every act, everything has a reason,
everything
every action
has a payoff.
Moves the plot forward. It's got a perfect, like, they set up the story, they set up the character Juan, he's on his mission to do it. There's the little surprise twist at the end, there's consequences. It's got heart, comedy.
Which is crazy when you find out that, like, one of the last things they added was the clock tower.
Yeah.
Like that, the whole movie is the clock tower. Like, how do you?
Yeah.
It's just crazy that it's like, okay, we have this clock tower. Now let's build a movie around it instead of like at the last minute.
This film is the result of a lot of lucky things that came together. And you realize in so many films, it's like timelines of all the factors that need to take to make something work.
I mean, and plus on top of all that, you have a really cool time travel device. You have a really cool time machine in a really cool car. You know, how many, like, you know, for science fiction people, it's all about the Millennium Falcon or the Enterprise, or, you know, it's like the machines. It's like a whole another character. And so, yeah, the recipe for such a great movie, all the things came together, right?
Now, if DeLorean doesn't get shut down for being a Coke smuggler, I don't think the cachet stays the same. Like if the new 2023 DeLorean just came out, like,
I'm surprised they didn't try to reboot that. Like, they're trying to reboot the old Volkswagen van. Actually, the Libyans.
Or the Mustang.
The Libyans van. They're rebooting an electric version. You would think, yeah, it's interesting watching the documentaries. Half of the film goes in the people obsessed with DeLoreans and the DeLorean Club and the Back to the Future vehicle recreators. And I agree with Ari. It's, for me personally, if I had to pick like top two vehicles, it's the 1966 Adam West Batmobile and the Back to the Future DeLorean.
Yeah.
And they have all these guys that are like, people's sign of success is a Rolex or having this house in the Hamptons, whatever. And like, for me, it was getting a DeLorean. And like, I was like, I totally get that. If I had an extra million lying around, I would not mind. I would not.
Well, and like, you know, the two main actors that we fell in love with, like, there was a different Jennifer when there was Eric Stoltz too. Like, and they both, the only reason that I always forget what Jennifer?
Her height.
Yeah, it was height. But like, I forget what her name is. But yeah, she was locked into a sitcom deal too.
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox is locked into a sitcom deal. And then when Michael J. Fox broke loose, she... And I just like, I love her so much. I can't believe I keep forgetting her.
Claudia Wells?
Yeah, I love Claudia Wells. She does an amazing job. But I love Melora Hardin. Like, I would... I just really like her. Like, they're all gorgeous. Like, I'm not going to get into how gorgeous they are because... 20 year olds in the 1980s, that's what made me a man. But like, just I like Melora Hardin's body of work. Like, Claudia Wells does not have a huge body of work that I've kept up with that I continue to enjoy.
Yeah, no, she left
Melora Hardin. I still love what she's been into this day, and I enjoy her. And I would like, everyone talks about release the Eric Stoltz footage. Like, I want to see Eric Stoltz and Melora Hardin walking down the school hallway together. With
it's funny that they talk about the Eric Stoltz footage and some of the stuff that you see. I mean, you can already tell that they're right. He looks so serious in it. He looks like he's this withdrawn, sullen, like he turns his film into like an Armageddon film.
Yeah. And the only reason that we got the Biff we got was because, again, it was going to be a different Biff, but Eric Stoltz was so tall. They had to replace, I think, Billy Zane might have been the original, or one of the...
Yeah, this is more.
One of his henchmen was they had in the Biff spot, but then as soon as they hired Eric Stoltz, they immediately moved what's his name into the slag. It was all height based. Like, it's crazy how much characters change just based on height. And then by the time Marty came back, they're like, well, this Biff is doing just fine. We won't bother putting the other guy in. But like, we were probably this close to get a different Biff too, just for height reasons.
It's just so many factors to make this film. I can't imagine any other film 6 weeks into filming that, I mean, in most cases, there are probably people that have had 6 weeks into filming and they're not crazy about the actor and they just try to work with them, or they're just like deal with it and they hope in post they can fix it. To have the money or the balls to scrap that and reshoot all that, and it super paid off, but that's very rare.
I think this is the only one probably. Like,
yeah. Who has the money to reshoot most of 6 weeks?
Yeah. And nowadays, everything, I mean, it was not just nowadays, like even Back to the Future was like on a timeline, like it's coming out. But then, you know, not only did they hit their deadline, they were forced to move up their deadline because the movie was so fucking.
Yeah. And the fact that they wanted to get rid of him and the fact that they were able to get the producer or whatever to allow that to happen.
Oh,
yeah. It's very impressive.
And I keep like, you know, obviously, you know, there would have been lots of money on the back end for Eric Stoltz, but he probably made plenty of money for 6 weeks of work. Like, he is.
Salary. Eric Stoltz gets to keep, because he's fired, he gets his money for his time, right?
Yeah. He probably made $1 million to just like show up for 6 weeks. And then he ended up going to Europe and finding himself. So, you know, it's not all bad.
So this movie came out in a time that really kind of just sparked an entire generation for science fiction.
How old were you when this came out, Ari?
Well, no, I was young. No.
Just kidding, Ari.
She didn't see it in the theaters.
I did not see it in the theaters. I wasn't even living in the States when it came out, but I saw it. I think I was in high school when I saw it for the first time.
Wow, late.
So that was, you know, in the early 2000s. But to me, anytime we're watching something and they reference either Back to the Future by name or something about the movie, I just get so excited and so happy, because it just reaffirms that, you know, that is definitely at the top of our, you know, best back of time travel movies. So can we talk about some of the references, some of the things that have referenced?
Yes.
That have referenced Back to the Future?
Yeah, I mean, the first one to me that's the biggie is Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
The fact that he even goes, that he thinks that Ant-Man is trying to plan, he's like, are you trying to plan this on Back to the Future? And here's the thing, I mean, we're talking about this film, we've done these films, they've got loopholes in it, but for the time, they're trying to think through some things, the fact that like Marty wouldn't have existed, you know, if it didn't happen, and like, it was pretty advanced for the time, we got to give him credit. But like you're saying, this started sci-fi, this is very digestible sci-fi for the masses.
Back to the Future is
Interstellar. The guy bring it up all the time. Predestination, that's not for everybody.
No.
Primer is not for everybody. That's thicker sci-fi. This is, you know, if Star Trek is the thicker sci-fi, Star Wars is more fantasy for the masses. You know, this is easier to digest.
Definitely.
So I definitely think Avengers Endgame, that was really, it's really fun and meta to now reference Back to the Future in other fictional time.
Oh, that's such a bummer. In the original script for Bill and Ted, the time machine was going to be a 1969 Chevy van. But since it resembled the DeLorean so much, it was scrapped. Oh, man.
That was interesting. One of my favorite references, I guess, helped to create an entire show. So it helped to create Rick and Morty, which is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Because the creator loved that movie and literally took, you know, Doc and the kid and was like, you know, it's a little bit of a pedophile. So let's make them related. Why are they always hanging out together? Let's make them related.
Yeah, he was in the interviews, right? Dan Harmon was in some of the interviews we saw. I love he had that moment where he's like, look, we're all into the lore and stuff, but we all can admit that like 2 and 3 suck, right?
I know. That was Dan. I was just looking at that because, Dan Harmon. Yeah, he said, we can agree 2 and 3 suck. And then I loved his comment. He said, movies are like a casino. You know you're going to get ripped off. Every now and then you win and you hope it's Back to the Future. And I thought that was so great because
that is,
you know, if you're a movie lover, you just hope to break even. You just hope you don't want your money back when the credits roll.
Yeah.
And it's a good day.
It's funny how they were talking about the interviews, how they brought it. So the movie didn't happen. 40 times they got rejected. It also shows you how much like these directors had 3 like not successful films. And they kept pushing and they made this work of genius. And even this film was shut down 40 times. How many people after 3 bad films and getting rejected would like just move on to something else?
Totally.
You just never know.
And I love that the reason Back to the Future exists is because Romancing the Stone was a hit.
Yeah.
Because that was one of my dad's favorite movies at the time. So I saw Romancing the Stone a fucking lot. So I'm fine with that being a big reference.
They call that the poor man's romance rom-com Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Whatever.
No way. I love Romancing the Stone. It's great.
Well, luckily it's not time travel.
If they ever make a third Romancing the Stone.
Please don't.
Let's make the third Romancing the Stone a time travel movie.
There it is. Now we're talking.
Come on, let's do it.
But the fact that like Disney shut it down when they went to Disney because they said it's a pedophile film. They brought it to Disney and they're like, no, it's a weird old doctor and a kid. None of us thought anything about that in the 80s, but in the 80s, Disney being hyper aware was like, no, that's weird.
I loved what's his name from the Goldbergs, the guy who writes the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, my overbearing Jewish mom saw it. And the only thing she took from it was like, it's a kid who gets to hang out with his mom. It's great.
So the movies they say reference it. There's the 2009 Christmas Carol, by the way, which when Ari and I were talking about, what's the original time travel film? I did say Dickens. Christmas Carol is Christmas past, Christmas future. One of the oldest, I mean, time travel pieces.
Yeah, but probably. They never use the word time travel, even though technically you're right. It is traveling through time. They never use the word time travel.
They use a ghost.
It's this very mystical as opposed to science based.
All right. So films that reference it, A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Well,
right.
Just point out the good ones. What's the dessert?
The good one.
Or the actual time travel ones.
Well, The Adam Project has a bunch of references, and Doc Brown's dogs are named after scientists, and Adam's dog is named Stephen Hawking. There's a bunch of little things through it, and they even reference Biff in The Adam Project. Bill and Ted's is loose. I mean, I don't think Bill and Ted's would have happened without Back to the Future.
Chicken Run apparently is a time travel movie.
What's that?
Chicken Run.
Yeah.
That one's on the bottom of our to-do list.
When they do Butterfly Effect, they have Back to the Future playing in the theater. Stranger Things also reference Back to the Future in there. They have that in the theater. And Eric Stoltz was also in Butterfly Effect as a nod or as a coincidence. Take with it what you will.
Oh, Michael J. Fox was in See You Tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh.
See You Yesterday. Michael J. Fox was in See You Yesterday.
Yep. That was a big one. The new Flash film, right? Remember how they reference Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly in this new future that he comes to?
Yes.
That was a pretty fun fact. That's the kind of stuff when you go to a new future, it's those dumb little things, the little butterfly effects that something that is so tiny, like maybe it's not Burger King, maybe it's called Burger World, you know, and little things that'll screw you up. Guardians of the Galaxy started Marty McFly's influence. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, they reference it. There's even one movie, I can't think of it right now, where they reference it saying, like, just so you know, the Back to the Future, the science and that, it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you, explain to you how it really is. I wish I could remember which movie it was, but they straight up were like, no, Back to the Future is not real. That's not how it would work if time travel were actually a thing.
Right. I forgot, by the way, that Crispin Glover is actually in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a dumb thing, but they mentioned that the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull took the nuclear fallout refrigerator scene and used it in it.
Yep.
Which I found unamusing for Indiana Jones, but that's either here or there.
I'm going to jump around a little bit. I'm just going to apologize right now. I tried to make my notes make sense, but it doesn't. You know, I went so deep. Like, this is one of those things where I kind of feel like Ari and I, you know, I guess we all did all three movies. I forget that Scott was on the original one. Like, I felt like we kind of, between the three of us, have kind of hit everything on the last three movies. And so that's why I went so deep on so many documentaries. And I actually learned there was some of the people that read for Marty: Johnny Depp, Ralph Macchio, John Cusack, John Cryer.
Ben Stiller.
For Doc, we almost got John Lithgow or Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, my God. It just goes to show you.
Jeff Goldblum. I'm sorry. Jeff Goldblum would have been different, but it would have been good. It would have been good.
Nope.
Yep. Sorry. Would have been good.
I mean, there are so many movies out there. There are some that might be flubs that would have been masterpieces with different, you know, choices and different actors. Like, this film would have been very different with Eric Stoltz. Ready Player One also referenced the DeLorean, obviously, in a huge way in the novel and the movie.
I want to see. So one of the things they talked about in one of the documentaries was Secret Cinema, this company that they build worlds based on movies. So you can just go live in it for a day. So they basically built Hill Valley in 1955 so you could go hang out and have fun. But one of the things they did, they showed the big, when they watched Back to the Future together, and they didn't show very much of it, but it looked like a Rocky Horror Picture Show style of Back to the Future. Like, during the dance, people who were dressed up jumped up on stage and started dancing. Like, it is now I don't need to go to see the whole Secret Cinema Hill Valley City, but I desperately want a Rocky Horror Picture Show style Back to the Future viewing.
Let's do it for like Back to the Future Day next year, one of our birthdays.
Let's do it. Because I did it in 2015 on October 21st, 2015. I went to the movie theater and saw Back to the Future 2, and it was one of the coolest movie experiences of my whole life.
Yeah.
It was a rock and roll setting. Like, people were just decked out and super excited. And I went alone, So it was one of those things where I was like at the last minute, but I was alone. So there, I found that one lonely seat in the front row. So I got great fucking seats. Awesome experience.
Ari, the film that referenced it was Synchronic, that said that Back to the Future was not correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did that drug movie to talk about the science of time travel?
And he also named his dog Hawking after, you know, Brown named his dogs Copernicus and Einstein.
Oh, it was almost a monkey. Is that what you said? Sorry, did I just say?
Oh, monkey? Shemp. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a last second, like,
So it was almost Shemp. It was nuclear power and a refrigerator.
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, it was different.
And it was almost called, what was the title?
Oh, there's two other titles. There's Professor Brown Goes to the Future.
Yeah.
And Spaceman from Pluto.
Yeah, it's so funny that they just thought Back to the Future was so, like, I realize when you say it the first time, your brain kind of goes, wait, but it's one of the...
That's the point, though.
That's the beauty.
Yeah.
Back to the Future, like, wait, that doesn't make sense, but, like, that's the, yeah, they have to go back, I mean... It's a very clever title.
My favorite story from the documentary was Michael J. Fox talking about sitting next to Princess Di.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And watching Back to the Future.
She was hot.
That was so amazing because he talks about how he's like, before they came, they gave us the whole spiel like, this is what, you never fucking talk to a royal unless they talk to you. You never fucking touch a royal. You never fucking turn your back on a royal. And he had to pee, so he couldn't tap her on the shoulder because he couldn't touch her. He couldn't say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom because he wasn't allowed to talk to her. He couldn't go the other way because he would have had to turn his back on her. So
Desmond's worst nightmare.
I would have pissed my pants in front of Princess Di if I was Michael J. Fox. Or I would have tapped her on the shoulder and got punched by a security guard. But either way, I would have pissed my pants.
I like how Michael J. Fox is talking about all he remembers is the inflection in his voices. You built a time machine out of a DeLorean.
I do want, they talked about it like that. You know, someday they'll probably release. It's just so weird that it's so under wraps now, because it's like, I understand why it wasn't released in the 90s and maybe the early aughts, but like,
there's probably some serious legal stuff tied up with that footage.
You could start a GoFundMe and people would,
like, they'd have to pay him if they use some.
Yeah, he probably,
if you start a GoFundMe, we will get Eric Stoltz $1 million to show his footage.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you.
There was even that one point in one of the documentaries that we saw where it was questionable whether or not Eric Stoltz threw that one punch on Biff. You know, they're like, because of the eye line. And there's the guy was like, no, I looked back on the logs. We reshot that. We definitely reshot that. Like, just hear it in his voice. Like, he was like,
it got ugly.
It's like, no, we reshot that. I guarantee you, like, please don't sue us.
Well, because there's, when he's sketching on the back of the truck, like, that's definitely Eric Stoltz stunt double. Like, that's a redheaded stunt double. Like, it's not Eric Stoltz, so there's no legal issue there, but that dude's got reddish hair. That is not Marty's stunt double.
Yeah. Man, I saw this film when I was 10 years old in the theater. That's the perfect age to be.
That is the perfect age. Yeah.
And also, like, there's a thing of just the 80s was like this innocent decade, and we were very obsessed with the 50s. And so, like, also tapping into that at that time was like a big deal. That's like in the 90s being obsessed with the 60s and stuff like that, or the 70s kind of going back.
Yeah.
Two times of innocence, but very different.
Like, at this point in our world, like, half of the DeLoreans that exist have been Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said they used it because it looked more like a spaceship, that the Ford Mustang had told them that they used their car, they'd give them $75,000. And big on them that they said no. It's like Ari was saying, this was such an important part.
Yeah.
All of these factors of the actors, and they wouldn't have had Michael J. Fox from the beginning anyway. They had to have gone this route.
Yeah.
Someone, and if someone else was better, they would have stuck with that person. It had to be someone that was so bad that they would do 6 weeks, but then at that time that he could, and then, and with that, they said no to Mustang. There's so many factors, just like time branches, that took to make this what it is.
Like, if that's Jason Bateman, they just fight through it.
Yeah, right.
He had to have read for it, right? I didn't hear his name come up, but there's no way Jason Bateman didn't read for Back to the Future.
Who knows?
He might be too young for
it. I'm surprised that Ben Stiller was throwing his hat in the ring then. It took him a long time to get out there. He must have been a lot of rejections, but he was a Nepo baby.
I forget that Back to the Future 2 invented flat screen TVs.
Oh, yeah. They credited Back to the Future 2 on things they got right.
Yeah.
And predictions.
Not the flying cars, but the flat screen TVs and the talking. The
video calls.
The video calls.
Lots of channels.
There's a guy who wants to, he's trying to develop basically maglevs for houses to make them safe during earthquakes. And so to test his technology, he made a hoverboard. He's like, him and his wife are developing this massive technology. They're like, well, we need to test it on a smaller scale. What do we make? And they're like, let's make a hoverboard.
Yeah, based off of the trains that hover above the track.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The maglev. Yeah, they're like, if a bullet train can get levitating, why can't a 10-pound skateboard levitate?
And then you saw in the doc, they mentioned a band called the Flux Capacitors. As far as I can tell, they're like an 80s cover band.
I don't know if they only... Yeah, because they can't like just do Huey Lewis covers.
All of our concerts are just 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
Totally. We do Power Love, Back in Time, and then we play the instrumental soundtrack.
They could do the that one Van Halen song they play 4 seconds of.
And they could do Double Back from
Oh, there's another Van Halen song in Back to the Future 2, too.
Okay, good to know. Oh, yeah. No, I Can't Drive 55.
Yeah.
Sammy Hager. Yeah, yeah. They showed all the, obviously, the people obsessed with the DeLoreans. And there was that one guy that got the only, like, privately owned Back to the Future 3 DeLorean, which is such a specific DeLorean. Not nearly as attractive.
Well, because he has the truck that Marty wins.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Libyan.
And the Libyan Volkswagen. Man.
With the guy in the sunroof with a rocket launcher.
That DeLorean has like the like Cadillac tires and like
those white walls are so hot.
White wall. Ugh. It's not the original is the jam though.
No way. I love those white walls.
I want one. Right? I mean, can you guys think, besides I put Batmobile in this, what is better and more iconic than these two cars?
As far as a car?
Yeah. I mean, there's
every vehicle in every Fast and Furious movie.
No.
I mean, you know, specific cars, but if you're talking about specific movies from a car, like, you know, I'm partial to like a Shelby Mustang, like a 65 Shelby Mustang. Whoo!
But like a specified, not cool car from film, but like the Batmobile is not one that was sold.
So you're talking about specific movie cars.
Yeah.
Total kind of sidebar. The car that was in when they made the movie Bullet. They had a very special, I think, Mustang for Bullet.
Yeah, they did.
And they made up a sound effect. The sound guy was just like, this is a cool sound for a car. People wanted it so bad, they retroactively made a muffler that would make that sound.
That's funny.
I just can't believe no one would think to somehow get the rights of DeLorean and sell it and make an electric car and make a shit ton of money. I don't know how that hasn't happened.
There's got to be somebody that's has done enough coke. It's like, you know what we should do? You know what we should do? Let's make a fucking DeLorean.
No, take the coke out of it. Everyone just loves the car. It's such a weird...
Take the coke out of it.
Take the coke out.
You can take the DeLorean out of the coke, but you can't take the coke out of the DeLorean. That doesn't make sense.
I mean, they show the depths of the fandom, right? The people that got like engaged at the DeLorean conference. I'm sure people must recreate the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they showed, like you were talking about the Australian one. Like, I wouldn't mind going to an immersive Back to the Future experience.
Oh, one of the best they talked about, like, I mean, Crispin Glover was real close to getting fired, too, because he was such a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah.
At one point, he was such a method actor. Like, he kept on, like, in the cafeteria scene, he kept on messing up his hair. And, like, he's right. An artist might have messed up hair, but the whole thing with having someone's hair combed in a film is that it's easy to recreate so you can match the shot. You can't match perfectly disheveled hair. And so they finally fucking duct taped Crispin Glover's hands for a take. And he finally got it.
That seems mildly abusive, right? Like, was it because, if it's because I have a tick and I can't stop.
No,
hair,
he told him.
No,
he said,
it was a choice, right?
Yeah.
So against his will, they taped the guy's arms down. Like his agent was, I mean, this is why he didn't do the other films, clearly.
I'm surprised they didn't fire him.
They did it at one point. They made it. And then when they're in the backyard planning the punch out, he kept walking off screen.
Right.
And so they finally built a box and said, you have to, like, if they would have panned down, there's a box that Crispin Glover is.
He might have had defiance disorder.
He's an artiste.
But I mean, he's maybe the best actor in the film.
He's not wrong.
What?
He just is.
For acting?
Oh, as an actor?
As an actor, yeah.
Yeah.
You think Michael J. Fox is doing a better acting job? Or Leia Thompson?
In that movie?
Doc Brown is, he might be up there.
Doc Brown is pretty good, yeah. Yeah, I put it for Docker as the better actors.
But as an actor.
Yeah, actor.
Because he might not be the better movie star. He's an actor.
Yeah, this movie is not known for his acting.
Even in the second and third, Elizabeth Shue is pretty bad. And she's a good actress. It's just, I don't know.
And they said, both of Bob said, which is hilarious that they were like, no, it was the end of Back to the Future 1 wasn't a sequel setup. It was a right off into the sunset setup. And if we knew it was a sequel setup, we would not have put Jennifer in the DeLorean.
Because then they had to deal with that. And so that's why essentially in the second one, they just knock her out for all of 2 and 3.
They throw her in the trash.
They throw her in a bench of a house. And in a future where like, it's not even her house. She's just left there for like 2 whole films of them going throughout time. It's messed up.
And that's where the movie almost went super deep on its time travel stuff. Because there's a deleted scene there where Biff disappears, where old Biff, after Biff goes back to give the almanac to young Biff and then comes back to 2015, old Biff disappears because that future for him now doesn't exist. But they cut that scene.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of holes in it and we've discussed them, but like big props to them at a time when time travel film was not getting as cerebral, and that they do this second film where they're going back to the time that they already went back to. And that's pretty meta for the time. That's pretty
amazing.
That's a bold. We do all that kind of stuff all the time now. We have films like Inception, and we go to those places. But back then, that's bold. They went back to the first film. I was disappointed when I first saw it because I just wanted something new. I was like, we're just seeing the second film again. But now I appreciate them watching them. It's pretty wild.
It's almost as good as Sharknado. But
yeah,
Ari, would you ever dated a man that's shorter than you?
Yeah, I have.
Because they...
In high school.
Because, like...
That came up today.
Yeah, I'm tall, right? So...
When
they talked, they had to recast. I was like, I've dated in high school, especially. They're like, no girl in high school is going to date a guy that's short. Okay, when I was in high school, junior high, I was taller than all the boys. So I had to, but...
But now, by choice...
Now, by choice, I have...
5'5"?
No, not 5'5".
By choice now, how low will you go? Because you had told me that it was like same height was the minimum.
Yeah, ideally same height is the minimum, but I have dated guys that were 2 inches shorter than me.
Holy fuck!
What?
How tall do you think Michael J. Fox is?
5'5".
Very short.
Wow, he's 5'4".
I think he's 5'5".
Wow.
Whoa. I thought he was like...
I mean, he was able to play a teenager as someone in his 20s pretty well.
So I guess that, because I was like, it can't be that big of a deal. I just want to clarify for the listener, like, yeah, they went, because they were like, the directors and the producers walked around to all the women on the set, and all the women on the set said, no way, I would never date. So that's why they were like, okay, well then...
We're not wrong. If someone's like 5'8 or something.
Yeah, and on camera...
Yeah, but 5.
Looks bad.
It looks funny on camera.
And you're trying to play him as a teenager and him in the future, and it'll really fuck with a lot of things.
And it would be distracting.
Yeah.
But like, but also, here's the one thing too. He's in one scene with her standing up. The only scene I think they're standing next to each other is for 2.5 minutes at the school.
Yeah, they could have used some Applebox.
It's like if she's in the whole fucking movie constantly, then yeah, that's a pain in the ass.
You're right. She's barely in it. Yeah, they do that with like Tom Cruise and Al Pacino all the time.
Yeah, they're sitting on the park bench. You know, walking down the hall of the school would have been the only like, okay, we got to do something here. But yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about you. I was thinking about my tallest girlfriend, and she was very, very much like I've dated some tall girls in general. But yeah, and like you said, Ari, in junior high, there's a time when
there's no choice.
You know, people are skyrocketing, others are stunted, and you just figure it out.
Even in high school. Do you guys think that this could or would ever become the kind of thing that, what's it called, Rocky Horror Picture Show was, where they have like a monthly showing at a small theater and people come and show.
That's what he was just saying.
Is that what you were just saying?
He was saying that he wished that they did that in the Australian version, and he was wishing that we could do that.
Well, yeah, like a monthly, like you show up, you dress up.
Everyone says density.
Yeah, everyone does the movie stuff. Like they get up. And
when you hear Great Scott, y'all do something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think monthly's asking a lot, but annually.
Back to the Future Day.
Is doable.
Whenever he says 1.21 gigawatts, we all have to say it at the same time.
Yeah.
There was something here in the Bay Area where monthly they would play like a midnight showing of Rocky Horror.
Oh, they're doing it. They do it at the university all the time. I drive by the university.
Yeah. Why don't they do that with Back to the Future?
Because
we haven't started it.
That's up to us.
We gotta be the trendsetters here. We gotta give the, because there's obviously a fandom out there. If we tell them where to go, we'll fill it.
Let's do it next year. I'm into it. We can do it at the new parkway or something.
Do it in my backyard.
All right. We have a diehard watching party every Christmas. And last year we did like when certain things happen, every time like McClane said, like if someone says like a 4-letter word, we all scream like fuck or shit out. And like every time someone dies and
every time he smirks,
we all go smirks. Or, like
his tank top gets dirtier.
Yeah. Just certain diehardisms. But
do you all rap Run DMC together?
No, but we eat Twinkies.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay. I have one more thing I want to talk to the audience about, and then we'll get to our final thoughts. I'm just going to straight up ask the audience if next year you would be interested in us talking about Back to the Future, the animated series, because I know they're not very good, but there's only so much Back to the Future movie that, you know, maybe we talk about the animated series. Scott is vehemently against it. Ari's on the fence, as far as I know. I don't know if she's as against it as Scott is, but she certainly was not excited about it. And I just can't figure out. I know, I realize it's not the best idea ever, but I haven't been able to convince myself that it's the worst idea ever. So if you have
I haven't been able to convince myself it's the worst idea.
If any of you out there can weigh in on whether it's just fine or the dumbest thing I've ever thought of, hit us up at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is time. You have 365 days to get back to us and see if I burn my animated series next year or we watch it and talk about it. Timepoppod@gmail.com.
What's our guy in the, is it Tasmania? What's his name?
Barry. Oh, Brendan. Brendan.
What does Brendan think?
Oh, Brendan. Hey, Brendan, you're getting your stuff soon. I finally got all of my merch stuff I need, including the painfully large envelopes. So I will send you some stuff. Thank you. And all of our other patrons out there, hit us up. But yeah, Brendan has definitely weighed in on his thoughts on time travel movies. So what is your thought on Back to the Future, the animated series?
We should talk to people on other Back to the Future podcasts. That would be neat. If there's anyone else out there that kind of is a time travel podcast, that would be fun.
There are no others. It's just us. We are the only.
I think there was one a while ago, but we've outlived them. So we forced him to submit. Actually, I went forward in time, or I went back in time, and I beat him up. That's what I did.
We can go back in time, and our younger selves can do the show.
This show will live forever.
It's just us acting like 10 and 2-year-olds. It'd be pretty awkward.
We can go back to 1992 and do all 5 time travel movies. Back to the Future is fucking great.
And you know how to watch it.
Back to the Future is such a great movie. I have it on. I've had it on the whole time. I've been watching Back to the Future this whole time. Back to the Future 2 is the best. I still stand by it. I love the time travel fuckery. I don't care how perfect of a script Back to the Future 1 is.
Perfect.
Back to the Future 2 is a better time travel movie.
No.
And
no.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that like the Bobs were like, ugh, I hated going, like, who wants to go into the future? That's so dull. Like, they were so fucking excited to go to 1885, they could barely bring themselves to film the 2015 scenes.
So Christopher Lloyd apparently, like, rejected the script right off the bat, and he just wanted to go back to...
He didn't even reject it. He just...
That's what it sounded like. He sounded like he rejected it. They said he actually threw it in the can, and then his wife was like, well,
yeah,
you should maybe consider it, and then he did it. But it sounded like he was most excited about the third film. He liked his little Western...
One, he got to fall. That was his only on-screen kiss. That was his only on-screen kiss ever.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the Emmett Brown story. It's really all about him in the third one. He deserves his moment to shine. It's clearly the least favorable of the trilogy.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll start planning ahead, too. Like, now that we've realized you know, getting together for commentaries is a little more difficult than we hoped. Like, if we get any chance to do something like that in the next decade, we won't wait until October and try to panic and force it if we're just get a chance to hang out, watch a movie together at some point.
Yeah.
After we hang out a couple times.
I liked watching the Back in Time documentary and stuff. I thought it's really interesting, all the things that it took to make this and how influential it is and how
closely we're to not.
People, you know, the levels of nerddom, we think we roll deep, but there's the people that made that guy that references any character in any Back to the Future film, like anyone that has a speaking line, any product that was shown. It's like, oh my, they had to go watch it and rewind their tapes and look at it again. I tap my hat off to you, good sirs and madams.
The only reason I don't own those books is because I couldn't get them here in time for our recording. Like, I saw it too late. So I was like, it's not going to do me any good the day after we record, but I'll have those by next year. We'll do a deep dive.
And you can get Goldie Wilson in the show next year. Claudia Wells, they're going around the circuit.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
As long as we...
Everywhere he goes, Mayor Goldie.
Yeah.
Like, if I could get a nickel for that uptick of my voice.
Thank you guys so much. This was, I was a little like, because like I said, we've done all three movies. We've watched some back behind the scenes stuff before. So I was just like, I don't know how much deeper, like it'll be, I mean, I'll talk about it, but I don't know how much deeper we can go. But we found a new level. We found a new
musical. Musical.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get an extra special Patreon level for...
We got a year to get to New York to see the musical.
That's what we're doing next year. Thank you for listening to Time Talk. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/timepop. We are doing exclusive movies over there on our Patreon. .com/timepop. Check it out. If you like Time Pop, you love Time Pop, and you need more Time Pop, that's where you can get it. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to hype anything else. This is all about Back to the Future and Time Pop. This is the only podcast you need to worry about. Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Scott. I'm not Eric Stoltz.
Great, Scott.
Thank you, folks. You in the past.
Thank you all. I know we're technically done, but thank you guys for listening. Like, thanks for making Time Pop a thing. Like, you know, we like talking about this, and we're getting a decent little following. You know, we got some people out there. We'd like some more, but we're not gonna poop on what we've got. And you keep listening.
That's how I live my life.
You keep listening, we'll keep making them.
And don't poop on what you got.
Don't poop on what you got. Gonna go back in time.
Becca, Becca, dicky doo.
Gonna go back in time.
Ricky, dicky, dicky doo. That's not how it goes?
Ricky, dicky.
Ricky, dicky doo.
That's the famous Huey Lewis song. It's hip to be Ricky, dicky doo. Isn't that right?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.